This is RTI, Radio Tetris International.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread. And if I sound grumpy today, it's because I am. That's it, really. This is Postcard from Pop Bread on a still snowy day over here. It's beautiful, actually. The mountains look lovely because we're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains over here in Slovakia. Quick hi to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boo, Spreaker, and RTI, wherever you might be listening on the planet. As per usual, we'll start off with the three musketeers who are foreigners because none of them are in Slovakia. Ho ho. It's Lee Banks.
Hello!
Good God, that was loud.
I've got my voice back, can you tell?
Yeah, I know, that's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Grumpy. I could go back to being Mr. Silent.
There was a great song about that called Silence is Golden, and it was last week for 2 days.
Silence is golden. I have the voice. I have a golden voice. I was blessed with a golden voice.
Yes.
I'm not old. You are of the silver generation.
Yes.
You should have a bullet. A silver bullet.
joining us from Paris, which you'll probably describe in some adverse way in a second, is the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yes, hello there, everybody. Yes, it's very grey here, and I got jostled by two policemen here this morning.
Gosh.
Two members of the Police Nationale Française, much detested and much feared in this place, simply because I asked them why they parked their police car across the pedestrian crossing when we were all trying to get our children to school. And instead of replying to me, they started barging me.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, welcome to Paris.
And slightly cooler than she was last week, we presume, having seen the weather, which we'll come on to that in a minute. Down in Queensland, which is up in Australia, Rachel Bruns is here.
G'day.
G'day, Sheila.
G'day.
G'day.
Sheila, it's Rachel.
Oh, it's Rachel, sorry. I did get it wrong again. Anyway, it's the alternative look at the news where I'm going to be even more grumpy in a minute. But starting off with the loss of Michael Winner, who was a great, I don't know, he was one of those greatest eccentric British people.
He was a mate of mine.
I know you said that. But he was a great eccentric. I'm going to have to pass this over to other members of the team because I don't think I've ever watched a Michael Winner film because I can't see the point. But I did like some of his very barbed restaurant reviews, which I did read, and I loved him in one of the last interviews he did on the telly. I think he was just a stunning guy, and I loved the way his assistant used to get bellowed at all the time, and he would go, "Get my case!" And I thought he was wonderful. I liked him. Lee.
He was actually one of the nicest men you could meet. He was very witty, very funny. The last time I saw him is a place that we know, actually, Eric.
Mm.
I actually saw him at Luton Who. That's in London, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
it's outside London.
It's in Luton.
I just said it. It's outside London.
You said London.
I said Luton, just outside London.
Luton's about 50 kilometres from London.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I saw Michael Winner in this little tract of land that stands up for itself and has its own government called Luton. And he was at a little hotel, which is gigantic, ladies and gentlemen, called Luton Who. And it's glorious. And Michael Winner, my mate, I'm the only person who knows him on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Right,
he was there for
a police meeting. He was looking after the policeman of this great grand land called Britain.
All right.
And he looked, this was 2 years ago, last time I saw him, and he looked very frail. Very frail indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Winner is somebody who, I have to say, that he was really disliked by a huge number of people in the country. I don't know why. Lots of people thought he was great. An awful lot of people just switched off to him immediately. But I have to say, he's just tremendously sort of a symbol of England somehow or other. I don't know why. And I think it's very sad that he's gone. And very nice to sort of find one of the icons of England whose reputation has not been mired by all sorts of other questions, which seem to be associated with a lot of our other well-known people.
Yeah, true.
I think then, ladies and gentlemen, that nobody's interested in my personal reaction with the man we're talking about in his demise, as Mark was completely bored by that and cut across me and cut me out completely. We'll move on then.
Rachel, have you ever heard of him?
No, but I feel very sorry for all your losses.
No, he was actually a charming man, if I can explain. But what Mark says about him being disliked,
I liked him, but he was enormously disliked by people around the country. And yet, somehow or other, he was iconically British, and it was a real loss to British life, actually.
I agree.
Yeah. He was liked by many, many people. He was acerbic and very, very entertaining and very funny, and created this image of being somebody who he liked to be disliked. Actually, what he was, as I was saying, is a very, very charming, very, very helpful, very kind man. At the time, 2 years ago, he used to drive around in what only could be described as a hearse, which suited his sense of humour and the presentation he liked to give to the world. And we actually sat in his hearse and had a chat with him. And even though at that time his liver was almost packed up and he got a terrible limp because of this wasting disease he got in one of his legs, which ultimately contributed to his death, he was caring, kind, witty, charming. We had a chat together, we had a laugh together, and you were talking about his winner's dinners, the Sunday Times column that he did. And going back to what Mark said, which might have given him the impression that people didn't like him, he was banned from restaurants across the city. And the reason was because he didn't care. If he wanted to give a bad review, he would give a bad review. And as he said at the time, if they ban me because I've given a bad review, it doesn't bother me because I gave them a bad review because they were rubbish, and why would I want to go there anyway?
Exactly.
And that really is the quintessential what Michael Winner was about.
Yeah.
Sorry, dear.
Well, paying tribute
sorry,
to...
Sorry, if you stop this, there's still another 20 minutes of the first half to go, if you just want to keep on a bit longer.
I'm sure I could fill it with interesting stuff, Mark.
Well, his late wife said, Michael was a wonderful man, brilliant, funny and generous. A light has gone out of my life. And I think that's the way to end that one. Queensland, one day hot, the next a 14-year-old boy is saved from drowning. What the hell's going on, Rachel?
All right, this is the quick version. Above my head right now is ex-tropical cyclone Oswald. And X, I don't know about the X, it's pretty windy. But it's a low monsoonal trough has landed, and it's rained. We've had, here where I live in Gladstone, we've had about just over half a metre in the last 48 hours. So that's quite a lot of water. And the kiddies, because it hasn't rained here in what feels like years, the kiddies all go and run around in the creeks, and there's flash flooding, of course. So they know not to do this. They do it every time there's a flood. Queensland's known for their flooding. I mean, we have one every year. But the little kids decided, I think I might go for a donk. This looks like
what?
Rapids.
A donk?
It looks like fun. A donk.
as opposed to a dunk.
That's correct.
Right.
A donk is a half-hearted dunk.
Ah.
It's a bit of a wade.
You're probably used to that, actually, aren't you, really? But...
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's pouring rain, and the rain doesn't bother me so much because we're actually located on top of a hill. My house is surrounded by ginormous gum trees, and the wind gusts have been up to 100 kilometres an hour, and I don't want one of them to come down on the house.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, guys, can I just say thank you to all three of you?
Why?
Well, yes, you can.
I've had the most horrendous morning, and this show is going in the right direction where I might even smile at the end of it. You're wonderful. You're wonderful.
Is that the generation of a tree falling on my house?
Yeah.
Have they got koalas in these gum trees? Is that what? Don't they eat those things?
Yeah. All the wild ice. Well, a kangaroo came to my doors today. I mean, can I come in? It's really wet. My suede's getting all ruined.
Yeah, right.
You said, I'm getting the Barbie ready right now.
Yeah. I'm just about to cook kangaroo tail on me Barbie.
Well, it's Australia Day tomorrow. tomorrow. So, you know, everybody's having a barbecue except anybody in Queensland because it's too wet. So, yeah, carving up skippy would be the way to go.
So what you're saying is basically Queensland is the England of Australia.
Yeah, it's underwater.
Yes.
Long may she rain.
Long may she rain. Very good. The football season's got even more silly in the UK, as our American friends call it, soccer. A young lad who's the son of a director of a team called Swansea City, which is actually in Wales. They were playing Chelsea, owned by a Mr. Abramovich. And a little bit into the game, there was getting a bit of a flap on because Chelsea were losing. Sorry. And at which point, the ball boy, who had already tweeted in the morning, if he got a chance to time waste within the game, like not throw the ball back, he would do so.
Oh, had he?
Yeah, he tweeted this, and then it happened. The ball came close to him, at which point he did a swan dive on the ball. The Chelsea player kicked out at the ball and allegedly got the bloke, this kid, in the ribs. And all hell was to pay.
Yeah. Well, I don't suppose you can go round kicking kids, can you? I don't...
I don't know.
He was Belgian,
the guy who did it. I think that's right there, actually.
Oh, he's Belgian, that answers it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Belgium.
If you're tweeting that you're going to do that beforehand, isn't that like Lance Armstrong posting pictures of him doping before Tour de France?
But the trouble is that the football player, he'd also tweeted that he was going to do it.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He said, if I can, I'm going to kick that ball boy today.
Yeah, hang on. Here we go. We've got some comments in already. Richard, why be surprised that in a game that's full of cheats, everyone involved does it? It's also full of thugs. I suppose that's quite true, actually.
What's full of thugs?
Football.
What football is?
Yeah.
And it's not so much full of thugs. It's sort of full of thick people, isn't it?
Well, who don't really
have any great intelligence. I think that kicking the equivalent to a Norseman's head around for a living is intelligent.
Yeah, anyway.
The simple fact is that this kid, no matter what he'd done, if he tweeted that he was going to waste time, then really what they should have done is taken him off the pitch.
Exactly.
He shouldn't have had a kicking off somebody who earns, what, does he earn £170,000 a year? Why is this acceptable? Why is it acceptable?
Lee, £170,000
a week. £170,000
a week? Yes. What were you going to say, Mark? What were you going to say, Mark?
The law of life.
Mark,
I was just going to say that Lee's voice is breaking up with emotion or connection. I'm not quite sure.
Well, we'll go into that later. He's been having trouble with his wires. Richard says, why be surprised that I've done that one. There's cheating going on all round in all sports, unfortunately, Eric. Take a look how Victoria Azarenka takes a medical timeout, just like the Williams sisters often have. It's funny how in all these sports, there's also so much money involved. Kevin just simply says, they're both at fault. Oh, we've got a Welsh correspondent here, Mike. I'm a long-time Swansea fan, but hopefully not biased. A definite case of premeditated time-wasting by the ball boy. Oh, well done, Mike. But it was actually understandable for the ball boy not to give the ball to the Chelsea player, as it was Swansea's goal kick. From what I can see, the Chelsea player actually pushed the ball boy over the ball anyway. Nah, he did a swan dive. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. The player should have stood back, let the referee sort the situation out, and rightly hand some extra time for time-wasting.
There's no suggestion that this was an accident.
I don't think so.
Well, why has he not been arrested?
Well, because he's only 14.
I don't mean the boy in...
I understand the boy's father has discussed it with the police, and as a result of discussions, the police decided not to press any charges. Mm. I don't know whether there's any money passed hand or what have you, but... anyway, so the police did look into it, and they decided not to.
The simple fact on that was that there has actually been no complaint made.
Therefore, the police feel that they can't act, which is actually part of the way the law works over here.
Yeah.
But they do actually, the police actually do take action when they feel like it. I just think this is wrong. I think this is absolutely shameful. And we are making light of it, and we do make a light of a lot of things.
Well, hang on, I've got a couple of comments here.
A really cruel angle to it.
Now, a couple of things here. Parry says the ball boy was a wind-up, and this is one for Rachel to read out.
Oh, Mandy says, I think the ball boy was an idiot. I hate Chelsea, so definitely not being biased.
Well, can I just get back to the point?
Please tell a woman to say something sensible.
Yeah.
Get back to the point that Lee was making. You know, the police will actually sort of pursue things without receiving a complaint when they feel like it. And I always think that what you really have to do is you have to apply the policeman's son test. And basically that means that if the ball boy was the son of a policeman, I wonder what they would have done then.
Mm, yeah, okay, I get it.
I agree. I just think I think on the face of it, this is, you know, it isn't even a light-hearted story, really. You can't go around kicking people because they haven't done exactly what you want. And I think that is compounded by the lack of interest of the police. And I think it's just shameful. I agree with Lee.
Okay, let's move on. Loads of people started this off, and then guess what happens? Happened to me.
What's that?
I was told off by Facebook this week.
Did you?
I did. I got told off. I got told, stop adding friends or we'll put a ban on you for so many days.
That's happened to me.
I had that once.
I went, but I haven't tried to add any friends. So what's going on? And then something happened. I looked on my Facebook thing. And I did a bit of checking, and Mark Zuckerberg is the man who wants the world to be open. That's what he says. He wants a more open world.
What a load of rubbish.
So I tried to then message Mark Zuckerberg on his page.
Yeah.
And guess what happened?
What?
I was blocked. So
why were you blocked?
I don't know. So the automated system had done something, and I couldn't even tell the CEO of the company. His company was screwed by some dodgy software that wasn't working properly. So I wrote to Mr. Zuckerberg because it says on Facebook, Eric, how are you feeling today?
That's a bit of software asking you.
Yes. The direct answer I wrote to Mr. Zuckerman is, I'm fed up with your automation system. Last time I received a ban for posting a video of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Now, I got banned.
Yeah, quite right. He's always a Republican.
Yeah. Now I get stupid messages about soliciting new friends. I've got thousands of them, Mark. It's all right. Just tonight I was accepting a friend request, hit the wrong button, and now I get a further 21-hour add-on to the ban. I can take it, Mr. Zuckerberg. If you want me to stop conversing with my friends, just say so. Tell you what, I'll call your London PR phone. Yes, I still broadcast, so I guess that means I'm from the press. To see if they can actually talk in English this Monday morning. I won't be holding my breath.
Listen, Facebook is in a mess, quite frankly. And I have to say that there doesn't seem to be any structure or any particular plan to it. And I don't know why, but I've got a feeling that Zuckerberg is really getting in the way of its, you know, proper sort of financial success that all the new investors expected when they moved in. I wonder how long really Zuckerberg is going to last before somebody decides that it's time to invite him out of it.
True. Well, so...
Well, he's in America. He's going to get shot.
Well, anyway, what I then did is I spoke to a PR company that I know and asked for a favour. And I said, would you please forward this message to Mr. Zuckerberg for me on my behalf, and don't charge me any money? To which they said, yeah, we'll do it for you, Eric, no problem. So they messaged Mr. Zuckerberg, bearing in mind this PR company actually does some work for Microsoft, which is a major shareholder of Facebook.
Yeah.
No reply.
Ooh.
Over a week and no reply. There's a load of these coming in already, messages. Richard said, I've never been banned. What am I doing wrong?
Which I don't, I've never been banned either.
I totally agree with you on that one. Philip says, I don't think we've heard from you before, Philip, so thank you for that. I ask myself, is Facebook becoming a dictatorship? I wonder if I will get a ban for saying this.
Of course it is.
Been a dictatorship right from the beginning. Yeah. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Every time I speak, I get an echo. It sounds like Mark.
Yeah, probably because you've got headphones plugged
like
in.
Mark.
A bit like Mark. Let me carry on. It seems that people can post vile, insulting posts on Facebook and get away with it. But when somebody unwittingly says or does the wrong thing in the eyes of boffins, they then give you a hard time. Somebody ought to jump on these boffins because it seems they are not in the real world. Strange, very strange indeed. Brian adds, Eric, I'm obviously losing my touch. No one's banned me. Good. David, that will teach you for soliciting on FB LOL. Oh, very droll. Very droll. One for Rachel.
Elaine says, I was even given a 30-day ban for posting sharing a pic of a bluish bird on my page. The next day I saw a very filthy porn pic on the home page, but that person wasn't banned. Talk about conflicting messages. Indeed, Elaine.
Yes. David says, I have no idea how to message Mark Zuckerberg, but it's time for you and your cronies to go. And if you don't, we will. Anyone who knows how to get a message across, please feel free to do so. Julian says, we're all doomed. Oh, my Lord.
Can I make a serious point about this? It really is quite relevant. Lastly, I've started writing. This isn't a publicity ad for myself, but I've started writing for the European Journalism Centre, which is quite an influential organisation based out in Maastricht. One story we were looking at is about, going back to what Rachel said, about guns in America. And the fact that a newspaper which published 33,000 names of people who lived around the Newtown School where 23 children were murdered just before Christmas had been outed and had bomb threats made to it and all that sort of thing. Now, the point I'm making is that this was an absolute attack by the gun lobby in America to try and stifle the news about what had happened at the school and the fact that 33,000 members of or gun owners in America had their names and addresses published on the internet. Mm. What amazes me is that while that is happening, that somebody like Mark Zuckerberg has the audacity to claim that he wants the world to be open. Mm. So why then, when all these things are being clamped down on by people with political clout, and you have been banned from carrying on. I've been banned by Facebook from doing things. What audacity has somebody like this rich, flouncing kid got the right to talk about an open world?
It's not him, Lee. He's Mark's quite right. It's not Zuckerberg himself actually controlling the company like it used to be.
Of course it isn't.
You know,
he's still putting his name to it.
True. Tom says, re-getting a message to Mark Zuckerberg. Has anyone thought of posting him a letter?
Good
on, Tom. How original is that? Come on, you can remember actual physical letters, don't you? A thought about what you can post and what you can't. As an advocate of free speech and a lifetime opponent of the political correct thought Nazi police Nazis, I found myself in a rare agreement with Peter Hitchens in the Daily Mail on Sunday. Blimey.
Peter Hitchens is one of the best pundits we've got in Britain today.
There you go. And Daniel says, bravo, Eric. The whole world should know their advancing problems with their company. Mr. Zuckerberg, we need a reply.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we do.
Mr. Zuckerberg, we need to close down Facebook.
No, we don't. The theory's good. It's just idiots.
The theory's good, but while we're arguing about privacy all over the world and bringing guns into it, this place is where all these people are saying it's awful to invade people's privacy by publishing the names in newspapers, are putting the fact that the gun owner's on Facebook.
I know. And just to get some balance in it, because I was trained at the BBC, not only that, Wikipedia's now been hijacked as well by idiots.
And so it should be, because that's a load of unintelligent, irrelevant, absolutely misleading, pointless rubbish.
So you're a fan then, Lee?
I think Wikipedia, there is a good site akin to Wikipedia, I don't think it's got anything to do with it, called Sickipedia, which is actually a site of jokes, and that is really good. Wikipedia is a site full of joke information without any sense of humour at all.
It's not at all, and I can tell you what, every night there are millions, maybe billions of school children who wouldn't get their homework done if it hadn't been for Wikipedia.
And get all the homework wrong.
Let's just paint a short picture and see whether they're getting the answers right then. Wikipedia had a post on it, I won't mention any names because that would be improper, to which somebody changed it to falsehoods. Well, no,
yes.
They changed it to lies. So yes. Somebody in the company, because I've been talking to them this morning because they'd seen other bits and pieces going on, and they said, it's not Facebook, Eric, Wikipedia. So I said, well, what did you do? They said, well, we changed it back to the truth. Well, I said, well, there you are then, you've done it. You know, not a major problem. Oh, no. 10 seconds later... They changed it back to the lies.
Yeah. It's called crayoning, actually, which I thought was a great thing. And the Consumer Action Group has got a small Wikipedia page, and it's regularly crayoned. It's regularly attacked and crayoned. And normally speaking, it's actually crayoned by a firm of debt collectors name them, First Credit. Definitely that lot. We haven't taken up with them. We're just sort of storing all the records and what have you. Maybe one day we'll use it against them. Well, but, I mean, they're very unsubtle about how they do it, because they leave all their IP addresses and all the other traces.
It gets better, Mark. So man is trying to get the truth on. Other idiots are deleting it. They then decide that because bloke works for company, they're going to ban his account.
Yes.
Without any question, Wikipedia banned his account, right? And I can vouch for the fact what was up there was, I know for a fact, was untrue. What he was putting up was the truth. And yet, because he was trying to put the truth up, Wikipedia banned him for having a posting war. And the bloke has been blocked.
That's
so
the problem.
If it is the case that Wikipedia can endorse lies going up, please, boys and girls, if you're at home, don't use Wikipedia for your homework, because it might not be right.
Can I just endorse that by saying, going back to what Mark says, the problem is, Mark, that you're quite right. Millions of children use Wikipedia to complete their homework. And the problem is that Wikipedia should be called Wikidpedia, because it is full of untruths, misinformation, and things that are just totally wrong.
That's the end of part one from Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. We'll be back fast. You drink a milkshake, make a cup of tea, or even have a cup of coffee.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.